First of all, thank you so much for doing this. No problem. Explain what happened yesterday.
Well, hang on. I got hot sauce in my eye.
That ain't hot sauce in your eye, my friend.
Hey.
Oh.
What happened? My God. The Blue Jackets traded a player whose career might be over for a player who Toronto seems to think his career is over. And they were, it's a pretty unusual trade. I don't recall a trade like this. I think it caught everybody by surprise because Toronto thought it was a player whose contract could not ever be moved. And nobody in Columbus expected Nathan Horton to be any part of a trade deadline move, because who wants a guy who's probably never going to play again? Well, of course, a team that can eat his contract and claim his cap room. Mm-hmm. Is who wants him. So that's what went down yesterday, but it's a very multi-layered situation.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if he doesn't play a shift for the Leafs, he is already at worst, I would bet, their third best forward right now. So
isn't it weird? Like, that's the Leafs' perspective, and from the Columbus perspective, it is. If Clarkson is, even if he's no better than he is with the Leafs right now, at least they're getting something.
Right.
That's how they see it. And in a way, this works for both teams. For right now, it achieves the goals of both teams. It's an interesting trade.
Hey, Aaron, explain to me, because I know you talked about this on Twitter and also on your story. Explain to me the whole issue with insurance, because, yeah. I mean, the Blue Jackets are being slammed for the way they approach this. But I spoke to somebody who, used to be an NHL executive. They're not now, but not that long ago. And he said he'd be surprised how many teams don't have insurance in some of their contracts.
Yeah, well, the situation with Horton is specifically peculiar, because he came to them needing a shoulder surgery. And everybody knew that. That was not news. They signed him knowing this was going to happen. And they knew he was going to miss more than half of his first season. It was that profound of a surgery. So they could not get insurance to cover his shoulder because it was a pre-existing situation. And it didn't make sense to buy insurance on the rest of him that year because there was no other injury he could suffer that would force him to miss half of that season. He already missed half of that season with his shoulder. And that's the point at which the money kicked in. Now, I've talked to people who say, I understand what their thinking was. It's a slight risk, but I understand it, and they got burned. But I've also talked to other people who say, you got to have insurance, because now the insurance going forward covers him. And what happened is he came back the next year when they tried to get insurance, and his back had degenerated, to such an extent that they could not get insurance again. Mm-hmm. And now they're stuck with who has a degenerative back issue, and they can't get insurance on him. And that's why they were on the hook for all $27 million if they didn't trade him.
What does Columbus think they're getting in terms of a player with David Clarkson? Look, when he came to Toronto, I think a lot of people, after we sort of got over the shock of how much they were going to be paying him, I think a lot of people looked at this deal and said, well, you know what? He's the type of guy that can help you when you get to the playoffs. He's got that pedigree. He's got that rep. So if you're a team that is looking at getting into the playoffs and maybe going in a playoff run, it makes a certain amount of sense. Now, of course, the Leafs' biggest issue is that they haven't come close to making the playoffs since then. What do the Blue Jackets think they're getting in David Clarkson?
Yeah, well, if you hear the description from the Blue Jackets front office, it sounds a lot like the description of the Maple Leafs front office when they signed him. I think Clarkson's one of those players where, and I don't mean this to be overly derogatory, if you don't expect too much, you won't be let down. I think he's one of those guys who thrives in a situation where he's not expected to be the leader, where he's a plus third-line type player, where he's a second-line fit if the other two guys are just right. That's what he was in New Jersey. And the 30 goals can blind you and convince you of a player who's not. The comparisons to Wendell Clark are absurd. And as Scott Hartnell said yesterday, a lot of times when a big ticket player goes to Toronto, people expect 40 goals, 40 fights. And David Clarkson has never played under that weight. He's always been sort of a quiet, successful player. That's what he was in New Jersey. You look at the stat sheet and you're surprised at his numbers. You don't consider David Clarkson. He had the one great year. Other than that, he's been an average player. And I think Columbus sees a situation here where they can recreate a bit what he had in New Jersey, where this is still Ryan Johansson is the star offensive player. Brandon Dubinsky is the loud offensive player everybody pays attention to. And they've got some young players coming. David Clarkson does not arrive here as the savior as he did in Toronto, and they think maybe he could thrive in that situation.
In terms of system, Aaron, how close is Todd Richards' system to what David Clarkson had some success with in New Jersey? Are there any similarities?
I think there are some similarities. I mean, I don't know that Columbus doesn't trap and plug up as much, and I wouldn't describe them as a transition team.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a possession team in the truest sense. I mean, everybody wants to be, of course, but this is still a pitch it in and go get it team. That's what they try to do. They try to wear teams down. And you know what? I mean, maybe that does work for Clarkson. Go to the net. I mean, you know, Scott Hartnell's not fleet of foot. He never was. He's slowed down, certainly, since the start of his career. He's having a pretty good year in Columbus. I wonder where Clarkson fits on this team. I wonder who his best centerman might be with Johansson, with Dubinsky, with Anisimov down the middle. There's some interesting things they can do there. The system they play here is not at all like it is in Toronto. And so maybe that alone will be a breath of fresh air for him.